Morning, everyone. All right. Yeah, so today, in a few minutes, I'm going to have you stand, not quite yet, as I read Hebrews 8, chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And there's a reason I'm going to have you stand, and that is because I want to emphasize the importance of Scripture. It is my source material today. Going to be, as Matt said, I'll be talking about remembering God. And this message is a reminder to us that God speaks to us through His Word. He spoke to the people who wrote it all the way up until now, and He's speaking to us today through His Word. His Word is inspired, it's powerful. As Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is powerful and effective. Powerful and effective. And so, what I'm speaking about today is remembering, and we need to pay attention and remember what God is speaking to us. So, let's stand now and read the Word of God thoughtfully as we hold in our minds the importance of what the Lord is saying to us, okay? It says, now the main point in what we have said is this: we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, so it is necessary that this high priest, and in case we're maybe a little bit confused about who this high priest is, it's talking about Jesus. This high priest also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer gifts according to the law, who serve as a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. Okay, you may be seated. So I'm going to follow up with another prayer, right? Lord, just thank you so much for today that we're gathered together, that we can gather together. There are certain parts of the country that receive much more persecution than we do, and they're hindered from gathering together and preaching the gospel. I just thank you that we have the freedom to do that. I pray, God, that you would draw us to your word, what you are speaking to us. Lord, you're going to speak to each one of us according to our specific need, according to our desires, according to the sin that you're dealing with in our heart, and according to righteousness which you are drawing us to. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us today, both short-term and long-term. Short-term impact, God, that there might be a tipping point or a point of decision right now that someone is facing, that you're going to encourage them to go in the right direction. And long term, that as we engage ourselves with your word and as we read it, we're in Bible studies, what have you, that that you'll remind us of what is important about this scripture, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I read through it thoughtfully and I emphasized various words and phrases, so I'm assuming that several of you are pretty familiar with this. So you have some context for some of the highlighted portions, that we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne. So you have some kind of backdrop for that, an understanding of that. And there might be some of us who maybe aren't as familiar with it. There are some new faces here. And so you need a little bit of review. So I'm hopefully going to cover a few of those things today. But the point is that the Lord wants us to be reminded of these things. This is sort of the way the author the style of the author. He sort of introduces a concept, digresses into some supporting topics, and then comes back to the main topic. And Matt likes to call this a spiral pattern. A spiral pattern. I like that. I like that imagery. But let's take a look at what Hebrews shows us first about the importance of repetition, since he does do this quite a bit. So you may feel like you've heard all of this before. Here's some chuckles from my wife. Yes. And I can get that. It's understandable because I think if my math is correct, this is the 23rd sermon on the book of Hebrews. It's a lot. We've covered 7 chapters over how many months do you think we've been doing this? We've been doing this for 5 months. 5 months, and we're just a little bit over halfway through. So we got some ground to cover. But the cool thing about Hebrew, the Bible in general, but about Hebrews, is even though he's repeated these themes, there's so much. It's so rich that it's like we're saying new things every single time because there's so many different angles to these topics in the book of Hebrews. So, but we need to be reminded. We've talked about the supremacy of Christ, angels, the priesthood, many times over. But the reminders and repeated themes should eventually do what? They should prepare us with a breadth of knowledge and a depth of wisdom to teach others. To teach others, right? So that's kind of like one of the objectives that the book of Hebrews says. He says in Hebrews 5:12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have in need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God." And so repetition, according to the author of Hebrews, is important because it'll get us to the place where we share our revelation, where we share our knowledge of God about these particular topics with other people. So that's number one, why repetition is important. Now, some of us aren't ready to teach, and we need to be in that place where we are listening to it multiple times until we get to that place where we can. Now, teaching doesn't mean standing up in front of everyone else with a microphone, necessarily. But we all have something to share with someone else, or we all need to get to the place where we could share that information with someone else. And I believe that we are responsible, according to Hebrews and according to other parts of the Bible, we're responsible to share that information with other people. So in addition, the reason why repetition is important is because, according to the author of Hebrews, is that we can become distracted. Remember that awesome verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, that talks about drifting? Drifting, if we lose our attention. You guys remember that when we talked about that? It says, "For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift from it." That was the first warning that we covered. Because our attention can so easily drift toward the things of this world. The pride of our accomplishments, the lust of our flesh, our desires, the things that are our pursuit of wealth, those things can shift us from our primary objective to be passionately focused on the Lord, to passionately pursue the Lord. So we need to be careful. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. Now, this warning to not drift away was in the spiritual DNA of the Israelites of old. One thing that we know about the Old Testament is that the Israelites would often veer from God. They would often shift their attention from God, and that would lead to their disobedience. So in Deuteronomy is largely a compilation of sermons that Moses spoke to the Israelites in preparation for going into the Promised Land. And he warned, in his sermons, he warned the people of Israel. In chapter 6, verse 5, he starts, he says, to love God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your soul. Okay, he gave them that command. And Jesus, this is coined, Jesus said that this was the greatest commandment that was spoken in all of the Old Testament, to love God with your whole being. And practically, this kind of love would be propelled forward in the next four verses. I think I meant to show you. Okay, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words, which I am commanding you today, chiefly to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, commanding you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them down on the doorposts of your house and your gates. God's pretty serious about remembering, isn't he? So we are challenged to tenaciously fix our attention on God, remembering who he is, what he's done, what he is going to do for us. And fixing our attention on God is a big part of loving God with all of our heart. And you're going to think a lot about what you're passionate about, aren't you? You're going to talk to your friends about it. You're going to study. You're going to read about it. You're going to think about it in great detail. You're passionate about the thing. You think a lot about the things that you're passionate about. So the question is, are you passionate about the Lord? How often throughout your week are you putting your mind on the Lord and thinking about him? So that's a question that we need to ask, and that's a challenge that I want to bring to you today, is to put your attention on the Lord. In Deuteronomy 8, Moses followed this up with a strong warning to not forget God. Okay, he says, beware. When it says beware in Scripture, we should beware. That you do not forget the Lord your God. This is in the spiritual DNA of the Israelites. By not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses, and then lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. You will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You will forget. And then he says in verse 19, it shall be that if you ever forget the Lord your God, and after other gods, and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I will testify against you today, and you will surely perish. Pretty strong warning, huh? So if we begin to lose our attention on the Lord, we begin to drift. But I'll tell you what, if this were about general memory, if this were about forgetting where I left my keys, and God says, I will judge you based upon your memory, I'm telling you that I would go straight to hell. But this is not about that. This is about putting our attention and fixing our attention on the Lord. So forgetting about God will result in drifting away from him. And again, in Hebrews 2:1, for this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift from it. So we need a reminder so that we don't forget and shift our attention. We need to be reminded so that we can break free from our inattention. I was thinking about this even yesterday. My daughter slept in the backyard, and I unplugged the sprinklers, right? Because we didn't want her to get soaked. And I put on my phone a reminder at 9:30 the next morning to plug the sprinklers back in. So the alarm went off. This is yesterday morning. The alarm went off, and I had other things going on. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll get to that in a minute. It was like 2 hours later, it came to my memory. Oh, I need to do that. So just illustrating that reminders are important to break our inattention, because I was focused on something else. I wasn't focused on plugging in the sprinklers. So we need reminders. We need to be reminded of the important things that have been discussed in Hebrews up to this point over the last seven chapters. And that's what we're talking about today. He says that now in the King James Version, it says that now of the things to which we have spoken, this is the sum. And when I first thought about this, I'm thinking X plus Y equals Z. Of all the things that we have spoken, this is the sum. But another versions, it says it's the main point, the chief meaning, the principal meaning of what has been said is this. Now, this is likely the chief meaning of what has been said is this. What has been said is likely referring to the discussion. One more back. Oh, I just love this. What we have said is the discussion about the high priest in the previous chapter. And going forward, we're going to be talking more, so don't become weary, because we're going to be talking more about the high priest here in the future. But we love the Word of God, don't we? And the Word of God is powerful, and it's effective, and it's going to change us. And that's okay that we dive into this a little bit deeper. But it also, we see the themes here, all of these things that the author of Hebrews says that we've discussed, we have a background in all of these things here over the last seven chapters, even all the way back to chapter one. So we're going to talk about a couple of these things, that we have such a high priest, he was seated, and that the priesthood, just briefly, on the earth was a copy. We have such a high priest, don't we? Believers, Jews, non-Jews, like, we have such a high priest. So in order for us to be right with God, a priest is required. In order for us to be right with God, a sacrifice made by a priest is required. But some of you probably didn't know that. We need a mediator who stands between us and God to intercede to him on our behalf. Bill Keeney reminded me of Hebrews 9:22 that says, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. We have a priest. We have a high priest. His name is Jesus. And Jesus is not just any old high priest. He is such a high priest. He's a high priest that stands as a light against the dark shadow of the priesthood of old, the Levitical priesthood, the priestly line of Aaron. What are some differences between Jesus and the priests of old? With his priesthood comes a new covenant, a better covenant. And it's a better covenant because it's an eternal covenant. It's fixed. It's forever. This covenant comes not from man, not through man, but it comes by God, through God. Jesus wasn't the son of Aaron. Jesus wasn't part of the Levitical priesthood, an earthly priesthood. He was the son of the Most High God. And he was ordained by God to be a high priest for us. We have a high priest who links us to God, not just symbolically, but actually, he links us to God. Hebrews 7:25 says, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He lives to make intercession for you, pleading to the Father on your behalf. The priests of old would die. They would die because they were merely human. And the legacy of the high priest was passed through generations. But Jesus lives. Jesus lives. He doesn't die. He is such a high priest. The priests of old were sinners just like everyone else, and they had to make sacrifices on their own behalf as well as on the behalf of the people of Israel. But Jesus is not a sinner. As Tony preached, that he gets us. He gets us. Why? Because he emptied himself. He emptied himself of all the divine attributes and he became like us. He gets us. We have such a high priest. So that's what sets Jesus apart from all the priests of old. As great as they were in the minds of men, Jesus is greater. And we have a priest who is seated. We have a priest who is seated at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. And I want to remind you of that, that he's seated. And again, to some of you who haven't been with us, you may not understand the significance that he is seated. See, the priests of old continuously made sacrifices, many, many, many sacrifices. The priests of old made so many sacrifices that there was not even a seat in the tabernacle. There were all kinds of articles in the tabernacle. There was an altar, a large basin for washing, curtains, the ark, lamps, but there was no seat. And Hebrews tells us that the reason why there was no seat is because the work was never done. The work of making sacrifices for sins was never finished. Look at what Hebrews says. In Hebrews 1:3, it says, after he had provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. And then we read, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again, and in some translations, every day, to offer the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. It merely just covers sins. It doesn't take them away. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down. And if you're taking notes, look at chapters 1, verse 13, chapters 8, 1, as well as 8, 33, chapters 12, 2. All of them are echoing the same thing, that Jesus sat down. It's powerful. It's incredibly important in this book that we understand that Jesus finished the work. He paid for our sins once and for all. One time for all time. And when Jesus hung on the cross, and as he took his last breath, what did he say? It is finished. It is finished. And the only thing left for him to do at that point was to rise and sit down. So you are a beneficiary of the gift of the sacrifice that Jesus made. if you believe in him. It's not because of your human birthright. It's not because you deserved it. It's only because of the mercy that he extended when he canceled your debt by dying on the cross. So that seat symbolizes the complete work of Christ. So similarly, the old tabernacle and the priesthood was a sign, talking about the seat as a sign, the old priesthood and the tabernacle was a sign pointing to Christ's ongoing work in heaven. What is he doing in heaven? And Tony touched on this recently. He's interceding for us. His sacrificial work is done, but he's still busy. He's still doing stuff. He's praying for us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome that you have God as, you know, praying for you? So Jesus was contrasted with Aaron and the Levitical priesthood of old, and I talked about it on August 14th, and Matt talked about it in a sermon from September 11th. And Matt said, all these physical attributes of the Levitical system, the temple, even the lampstands in the temple, the sacrificial system, all of these things were a type and picture, a type and a picture of what has been fulfilled in Christ. There are a lot of types and pictures in the Bible. One of those, which I was thinking about last week when we took communion, is that communion itself is a type and picture of Christ. It's pointing to Christ. That when we partake of his body and his blood, when we take communion, symbolically we are proclaiming, it says we're proclaiming his death until he comes. So in the same way, the tabernacle is a picture of Christ's work. We might think of the spiritual as more conceptual or abstract, right, than the physical realm. But actually, the opposite is true. Because as Hebrews tells us, that what is visible, what is physical, comes from that which is invisible. Okay? So we're going to study that. We won't get in detail on that, but we're going to study that in the weeks to come. So looking backward, the elements and traditions are reminders of what Christ has done for us. So the author of Hebrews gives us these reminders because despite our proclivity for sin, and despite the inability for any human, whether it be a priest, whether it be the president of the United States, whether it be Matt, the inability for any human to bridge that gap between us and God, despite that, God himself has opened the door for us. God himself has provided for us a means for salvation. He has opened to us his throne room, and he's given us a spot before him. Isn't that amazing? Let me remind you that we have been given access to the most spectacular being in the universe. We can come before his eternal and his majestic throne with faith, with confidence, with faith, with confidence. Because he will hear us. He will accept us. Because, again, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. And so I want to remind you today of the wonder and the awesome power of Christ. He is the one who fashioned the stars and breathed into the nostrils of man and is today making intercession. You know, that doesn't mean that we're going to have a life without speed bumps. Because Jesus himself said that in this world that we'll have many troubles. But take heart, for I have overcome the world, he said. He sat down. He sat down. Reminders are important because they align our hearts and our minds to Christ. But we want more than just knowledge. went more than just a mental assent to God, went more than just, yeah, I believe that God exists. But we want to know, these reminders help us know that we are connected with God. We are connected to Him. And the reality that He is with you and that you have a place before us. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, just thank you again for your word today. That we're just reiterating, we're just reinforcing what your word has shown us. Thank you for reminders, because we need to hear them. We need to hear them because we have a responsibility to share with others. We need to hear them because we want to be closer to you, we want to be closer to your throne. And it's so easy for us to drift in our minds and in our hearts, to get focused on this thing and that. But you're calling us back. You're calling us back to focus on you, to break us free from our inattention. I pray that you would begin to do that in the hearts and minds of your people here, that this maybe would be the start of a journey for some to follow you, to live wholeheartedly for you, to know you, and to share your goodness with the people around them. God, I pray that you would bless this community. In the name of Jesus, amen.